Anything else on your mind before we get going here?
Well, I thought, you know, as far as what, you know, might be helpful, I think maybe just an update for you, Rob, that to start. I think we found something that really works for us, and we are meeting as a team the Monday morning of before our call. So we haven't done that every single time. We've kind of met during the week, but we've had really good meetings like we did this morning at, you know, 10 o'clock our time for an hour to focus on, again, the segmentation, keep at it, and then talk about any issues anyone has and help them with their homework and kind of. So I think we found something that's really working, and then we're fresh and we're good and we're really focused on then on going into this meeting now prepared.
Well, for Andy, who's, you know, a future coach, this is one of our best practices. Yeah. So what they're doing is, when we first take on a team, one of the things I suggest is meeting for 15 minutes before the call. Whether your meeting is probably a half an hour or something, Gary, is
we met for an hour. We met for an hour because we're still working on segmentation and sending people, but a little more intense, but it was an hour.
Yeah. And you're doing it more as a problem solving, not just as, you know, is everybody ready? Quick, make a few adjustments. So we got it together. So it's a great best practice. The other best practice is just forcing yourself to 15 minutes after the call to just get yourselves. And now when you're in person, it's real easy, right? Because you're already in the conference room, so you stay a few more minutes. But in this case, you know, maybe a 15-minute call after to just make sure everybody knows what their roles and responsibilities are for the next call would be helpful. Now, I just met with a team who's done their – it's their – second or third month. So once, you know, you're on week 8. So once we get through week 12, we go to monthly calls, and they're doing the 5-star model and reporting in using the 5-star model. And it was one of those breakthrough moments for their team where everything sort of came together. The 12-4-2 generated, you know, a $750,000 rollover that they frankly said they wouldn't have gotten otherwise just because they called, you know, a person in upper peninsula, Minnesota, rollover. She's headed at Vanguard and so forth, came in and he credited 100% to 12-4-2. They're doing, as we went through each, you know, planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership, they went through each one and talked about the progress that they were making on each one. And it was significant. And there were moments where they just credited the model with giving them tremendous continuity in terms of progress they're making. So I think that it's, you know, it just kind of reinforces to me that that model is a really powerful one to work from, just like the planning model, in terms of doing, having your meeting set up, Gary, is working for you. So congratulations. And as you're now, what I suggested for them is to work on their vision of where they're going to be 5 years from now. That's what we'll do then. So you can kind of look into the future and say, we do all these things as we go. By the time we're where they are, then we'll have the ability to do an offsite, plan our 5-year vision of where we're going to be, and then reinforce that behavior all the time through the leadership piece. So congratulations, the accountability, the coaching, the working together of a meeting before the call, it's great. It's great. I take a tip of the hat to you. So way to go. What else? Anything? Anything else? Gary?
I guess not. It looks like Tim is back on the call. It looks like, maybe he is.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. My computer went dead. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
And I'm, by the way, just for the team's information, I'm working on BAMBID, so I'm preoccupied at this point. Okay. Sorry.
No problem.
All right.
So what would, I mean, we can use the five-star model now. We've been using it kind of, I love using it. If you want to continue to use it, or you want to, how do you want to go, Gary?
I'd like to keep at it. I mean, we kind of talked about that a little bit. I think the only thing we would do today, given what Tim is talking about, we have a client that it's a fixed income manager, and they've submitted, I guess, a lot of bids that he's having to kind of go through. He is the director of implementation. So I'll kind of take over the 24-month calendar part for him, because we've talked about that.
All right, so let's just start.
I say we go through it. I say we stay on the five-star model, and everyone's prepared to do that.
Great, great. So planning.
Yep. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, Andy. Thanks.
So from the planning side, I'll kind of work my way backwards from some of the questions I saw on the segmentation piece. I mean, we're pretty much close to there. We're pretty much close to having everything segmented. You know, obviously we conferred as a team, after our last talk, and, figured out just the final step in who's leading, you know, which accounts, who we're sending to our wealth advice center, et cetera. Those letters are out the door, the wealth advice center letters to these individuals, and then basically the contacts to let them know the next step with our service model.
Yeah.
As far as individuals that are in Supernova relative to the overall number of clients, you know, I think we've figured out based off the conversation we had last time, I kind of caught the part we were talking about Butler's Supernova clients, the methodology behind Butler's, we have rejiggered that, you know, based off that conversation that we had. And, so I think we're probably, I'd say 75% there as far as Supernova clients that we know. Here's our Supernova piece. We've got the segmentation done. Here's our Supernova clients. Here are our Butler clients. I'm working a lot on the generational component of the Butlers and kind of cultivating that piece within our Supernova book. Who are Butlers? What should we be going after and focusing on? And then within the last piece that I was going to mention is the percentage of clients with a plan. We've got all the information we need now as far as who has a plan, who needs one that's been refreshed. So we've got dates they were created, dates they need to be updated. So we're kind of up to speed on the planning piece for the Supernova clients and the Butlers.
So where are you in percentage-wise now?
With regard to how many people have an actual plan? I'd have to look at my sheet, 80 to 85% actually have a plan. Half of those have plans that have been updated in the last, let's say, month to 12 months. So if we go through, you know, updating our Supernova client list before the end of next year, that is my objective, is before the end of next year, everybody's going to have an up-to-date financial plan. Some of those plans are not going to be updated until next year because they were updated a week ago or a month ago.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying by the end of next year, everybody's plan is going to be up-to-date within a year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you don't want to just do them to do them, right?
Right. And from a
plan –
Yeah, go ahead.
I might add something too, just so that you'll know one thing that we've done. I have always been trying to get us to produce a net worth statement for clients. You know, I've talked with, there's a lot of teams that have done this and we've looked, we don't want to come up with all kinds, you know, we've looked at outside sources, what the firm lets us do on and on and on. Because I think it's a vital piece. It's a service that we can provide on an annual basis along with this plan that I think no matter of the net worth of the client, they're going to appreciate. And so we have finally found something, which I think is really, I'd say, exciting news in the last week. The plan that Andy is talking about that UBS uses has, I don't even know that it's ever been a separate report before I saw it, Andy. I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but within this financial goals analysis, Rob, you were able to produce, a client could look at a net worth statement, but it really wasn't
isolated,
essentially. Well, now what we can do is we can produce a separate report. So it takes all the information and it's a, you know, separate PDF that the client can have that we can take snapshot at that point in time, discuss with the client, move it to estate planning. When we talk with, we have that in front of us and all the various different ways that we're brought into conversation. And that is something I had never, we had not been able to offer. I think that's pretty exciting. And Andy has got, you know, that's part of our, let's say our value, proposition is providing that. So I just thought I'd update you on that.
I mean, that's going to be part of the service calendar. You know, you cover a financial plan and all the goals and everything. Well, the net worth statement that Gary's talking about doesn't have anything to do with goals. It's an isolated report that's skinny down and it's roughly 5 or 6 pages. And that's another part of our service model is making sure that the net worth statement is up to date. So it's got assets, you know, held away, assets here. And it's kind of a really nice synthesized view of where people are at year by year. And it's easy to update. That was the problem is we keep looking for something that's recreating the wheel and it would just take, it'd take a lot of time and we can strip it out of the FGA and present it, and concentrate on it. So that is a nice, that's a nice piece that Gary's talking about.
You know, and from a client point of view, which I am, and quote, a retired, kind of retired client, cash flow analysis is really critical to me. And I don't think your net worth precludes you from being concerned about your cash flow analysis, right? You can have plenty of money and be cash flow poor and not know best way to do it and so forth. So you do that on a regular basis too?
The cash flow chart is something that's in that financial plan and there's two ways of going through it. One's kind of high level, one's a little more granular, and we do go through that every time. It just depends on which, depends on how deep the, sorry, it depends on how granular the client wants to get, because one of them showing all the inflows, outflows, social security analysis, et cetera. Another one's the combined details. Gary, you know what I'm talking about. And it's a high level. Here's what you have. Here are your goals. Here's how to get where you know, here's your value at the beginning of the year, the end of the year, taxes. The other one's granular, is going account by account. So yeah. It just depends on how specific they want to get.
I just want to know, you know, how much did I spend? How much did I bring in?
Right. Right.
And that's, you know, if I can see that, you know, a couple times, maybe once a year, I'm really good. I mean, I'd love to see my net worth. That's sort of a scorecard, right? But
yep.
more important is my cash flow analysis. Did something get away from me or am I, you know, did my deferred comp expire and I don't have that now? Am I going to have to adjust my, you know, instead of giving away maybe my required distribution, I may need to take it now that my deferred comp is expiring. That kind of, that kind of decision making in order to offset what my current income, you know, my expenditures are. So,
right.
And, you know, and interestingly enough, I would be, I think most of your clients are probably down about 50% in terms of their spending if they're retired based on the COVID thing. I know my am because I just don't go out. I don't go take that, you know, $30,000 vacation. I don't, you know, I just, I'm not doing it. So all that money is going into the accounts. So I think that's a, you know, from a cash flow analysis of your practice, that would be very interesting to see what your, you know, what your clients are not spending versus what they were spending in it as an aggregate. Be very interesting to kind of roll that up and see what that's, I read that was worth, It was in the billions and billions of dollars that they were not spending that is going into savings right now. So just an FYI because we're on the subject. Okay. Let's, great job. Way to go, Andy. Nice job. Very thorough. You've got a grip. Very professional. That will pay off. And I think you can talk to your clients about what differentiate you got. Everything you do, you want to differentiate what you do versus what they do. Okay? You're not poking holes in them. You're just celebrating what you do. You know, we do financial, the basic one is we do financial planning, but remember it's multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person of the plan. That's great. Okay, so do you guys actually do that? Do you fully implement the plan? How do you ensure me that if I'm a client, I'm going to get that implemented? That, you know, you update it how many times and you give me a cash flow analysis, you give me a net worth statement. You do that how often? All those things, if you can regiment them so that you can preach about them, you can market it then. And the more you can market what you do that other people don't do, that makes you more attractive to the client. So in each piece, one of the things to think about is how do we use that? Why are we different than everybody else? So when we say, okay, this is how we're different in planning. All right. Then we go to implementation of the planning process. Great. We're going to have a 24 month calendar. What's that mean to me as a client when I'm sitting there hearing that? Well, you're going, you know, and you can do it. Well, that's going to mean you're going to hear ideas that you might not have heard about otherwise. And then that's your choice, of course, as to whether or not you think those ideas are something that you want to do. So when we don't talk about this enough, but when you do a presentation in front of a client or a prospect or a center of influence, that's your conversation. The conversation isn't just what do I do, it's what do I do, why do I do it, and how does that make our team different than what you're traditionally used to? It's a really important point, Gary. Write that down seriously, everybody. Write that down, and when you're thinking about it, bring it up, okay? Because look, the game is helping the client make an easy decision. So you're giving them more and more ways of making a good decision, which is to choose you. So you just want to make that as easy as possible. And do all those things make it harder on you guys? Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, you do more work. You have to do the follow through. You have to see it to the end. But you know, it's the difference between getting a B+ and an A. It's not that much. In the end, right? Just to go through and finish that net worth statement or that, you know, whatever it is, just that little extra makes a huge difference in terms of the client. They just go, ooh, those are the guys I want. They're taking the time to help me implement it. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to bug you. We're going to make sure you get it done. Because everybody needs a coach. Okay. And we're going to keep you aware of where you are all the time. And the guys that keep score love that, you know, and a lot of us like to keep score. Well, it's fun. Okay. Implementation.
Yeah. I know Gary stepped in and said he could help me, but I will just kind of tell you what we've been working on there. I distributed a calendar that I pulled from your website about a week ago or so. We made a little modification to it, where in October we're going to be talking about liability management, and really we just kind of rolled the October item from your calendar to kind of add into the November. It kind of worked to fit there. We then last week scheduled a conference call with our banking resources here at the firm and had discussions about our banking products, what the mortgage refi market is looking like right now and our tools and resources there, credit card tools and resources. Obviously, we want to be having discussions about SBL. So that's what we've been doing. We don't have the calendar locked in because we want to have a little bit more of a discussion about that. I know Gary's got some thoughts. And one thing I think would be good is we have a marketing piece that we've used with our clients over the years called Advice Beyond Investing. And it's almost a 24-month calendar, mm-hmm. if you will, in terms of a checklist of things we should be covering and going over with our clients. And I think it would be good if we sort of married that Advice Beyond Investments marketing piece and took a look at it and see if there were some things that we could add or kind of help that work with our 24-month calendar. But that's kind of where we're at with that process.
Yeah, that Advice Beyond Investing has been a staple of yours for some time. That's great. And you want it to be something that you buy into. You're going to see that when you do this, there'll be a point where you say, wow, you know, we did a lot of business because of this. I would never introduce it as we want you to take out a securitized loan. What I would introduce it as, this is our educational piece for the month. Here's where we are on interest rates. Do you know that you can borrow on a monthly basis at this rate, month to month, just in case you might need some cash flow or, you know, one of the kids wants to put on an addition or build a new office or, you know, whatever. It's very, and you'll end up doing a ton of business. you won't even try, and you will, because you'll be just, everybody will be in the game. Just like you said, Tim, you want to get to the banker, tell what are the yield, what are the rates, you know, how can we do this? How can we structure this? What are mortgages doing? What's the margin rate right now? What's this? Just so you can have a really good in-depth conversation with the client about the liability side of the balance sheet, which we don't do enough. We don't do it very well typically. So I think it's really smart. Way to go. That's great. Okay. Brand management, which is the 20, which is, Supernova and the rapid response model.
Yes. So, on the Supernova part, I would say we have about 65 to 70% of our clients on the calendar with dates. A couple of them we're still confirming with. And then I also know we were supposed to talk about the Mini-Me folders, and those are kind of on hold right now due to COVID. I obviously don't have the stuff here at home to send them out. But I did work on getting all of our Supernova stuff organized in one place, one drive. We're getting everybody to have a template of an agenda and the executive summary set up in there so that it'll be like a blue folder, just electronically. And again, we went over our list today and kind of fine-tuned appointments and butlers and that kind of stuff.
Super. Yeah,
this another thing, Andrea, we can probably add as we were talking about the process, essentially, it's how different it's been from what we used to do, which was the notification of the upcoming meetings, the reviews, the folders, and we've kind of talked the way through how we're going to make that happen, like we talked about. So I don't know if you want to have any more color on that, but just to know, I guess, Rob, that we don't want to operate without the blue folders. We like the way that works, but we need to operate. We need to have a way to operate without the blue folders, you know, and that's what we're working on so that we know, again, what we have coming up for the week, and then we know that we will need to look not at the blue folder, but look at the file for the client or for the agenda and then the executive summary to know what we will cover coming up in that meeting. Because before you grab the folder and I could look at it and, you know, it works differently. So I think, Andrea, would you agree? Do you think we have a workable solution?
We do.
Okay.
And I know that in the past we weren't, well, I was not good at getting the communication to the client a week before. It was more like a day or two before. And so I really have sat down and found time every day at 10:30. I'm blocking off time to just focus on Supernova for the following Tuesday or Supernova for the following Wednesday, to get that stuff out to the clients.
That's great. Week ahead. Anybody's schedule unusual, or are you all, how are you managing your schedules?
Well, mine, I don't know if it's unusual or not. What the model I'm going with, Rob, is I'm only having scheduled meetings Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Uh-huh.
And that allows me either for rescheduling something if it's really important on a Monday or a Friday, or it allows me to do more work in preparation for something coming up and it requires a lot of work, or the best thing of all, it allows me to be gone 4 days possibly if I had to do it and not miss any calls.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing.
No, or you can, you know, that's the day when you can meet a client or do whatever, you know, go out of town. It's a big help.
So that's what I'm doing. I don't know if we just, again, talked about this. I don't know if Andy and Tim are really at a point where they are trying. I don't know, Andy, I don't want to speak for you, but I think you guys are still trying to find out what is a good way for you guys to, you know, try to construct your schedule.
Yeah, this is Andy. I envision what I'm trying to do is probably try to leave Mondays open. It can kind of be chaotic to start set meetings. This is a little different, but start set meetings on a Monday. Mm-hmm. But Tuesday through Friday, have meetings set up. And realistically, what I foresee is if you're having a 1 hour to a 1.5 hour meeting, what I like to do, because the meeting results are fresh in my mind, is have a 1 to 1.5 hour meeting. And then immediately after the meeting, I take some time to type up the follow-up notes, or what we're calling the executive summary, and then delegate jobs, you know, typically to myself, or if somebody else has a job that, you know, is produced from the result of the meeting, and then get those notes out, and the executive summary out the door. And I've found from my timing about half an hour to do that. So each meeting in totality is going to take 2 hours. So probably the most meetings that I could have in any given day, realistically, outside of business development, I'm talking pure like client meetings, is 3. If that's really going to take up, you know, 6 hours, but maybe they won't take as long, but that's what I've seen make sense. You know, if you're meeting for coffee or meeting for lunch or you're meeting for dinner, that's outside of that. I'm talking about pure client meetings, probably the most that you can realistically expect yourself to conduct is 3 a day.
I have 6 today.
Well, I mean, and if it's 6 today at 2 hours and you're working 12-hour days, that's fine. I mean, I hear you.
No, I think one of the things you'll do is you'll find you can do your meetings in 40 minutes.
Okay.
And that 20 minutes is the time you're going to use to do your next, you know, do your executive summary.
Okay.
So if you're meeting quarterly or semi-annually, yes. Or you're doing in-depth financial planning, that's going to take longer. But I would rather see you keep all your meetings less than an hour. And I'd like to see you, if you need more time, schedule more time.
Okay.
Okay. Just say, hey, we need another half an hour. I'm going to schedule it for Friday. If that's okay. But to limit yourself to 3 client appointments means that your maximum number of clients that you can have is about, 3 is 15. You know, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be 2.5 meetings would be 50 clients. So you're going to max out at around 50 or 60 clients. And, you know, that's the max. So I'd rather see you say 50 or 60 clients and have half of your day left.
Right. Okay.
Or, you know, have 60 clients. Yeah. And with that amount of time, getting your day done in that 2.5 hours or of your day, you know, just say, hey, I'm going to have 3 appointments, but I'll be done by noontime.
Okay.
So don't build in so much time that your productivity suffers. And Gary, you know this, right? Once you do in 12-4-2, with a lot of clients, unless it's really dragging on, you can get it done in 20 minutes. You know, if you need to, unless you're doing new financial planning or you're selling a mortgage or you're doing something big. You can cover a lot of territory. So I'm your coach. I'm supposed to tell you these things, right?
I appreciate it. I get it.
I want to pick up on something that I've never really heard before, but I want to make sure that I understood this clearly, Rob. Where you said, this is, let's say we have a meeting in person. We're going to schedule an hour.
Yep.
If we need more than that, then we'll schedule some time later in the week or next week. Basically, is that kind of what the conversation would be to the client?
Yeah. And what it does is it makes everybody adhere to the calendar.
And do I like that? Because see, I love that because I get into this deal where Andrea don't, and quit laughing. Andrea knows I'm like, I sit there and it's like an hour and 20 hours. I can't stand it. I literally cannot concentrate for that long. And then I feel like I've zapped all my energy.
Yeah.
Then I come back. Then all I want to do is look at my fantasy football team online to get my mind into something else. Completely. I love that idea. We're going to schedule an hour. If we need more, we'll schedule some later in the week or next week. I love that. Is that your idea? Is that a Rob Knapp like copyrighted idea or did that come somewhere? I like that one.
No, it's just out of frustration. You know, it's called event management. You know, you can't manage time. We call it time management. You can't really manage time. You can manage events. And what you tell the client is, look, we have a maximum of 45 minutes. You do that before you get started. You have an agenda. And when you get off track, you say, you know what? Let's cover that, you know, if we have time at the end. Let's stay on. Let's stay on. Let's stay on. Let's stay on our agenda here. Let's stay on this. And then who's not happy? You know, if I tell you, okay, we're done, right? 2:40, we're done. Who's not happy with somebody saying, hey, we're done a little early today, right? So if you keep them on track, they're going to be happier, and so are you. So, and you can get it done. I mean, wait till a client needs to go. They've got a golf game or something, and they say, I didn't want to cancel this, but I've got to go in 20 minutes. You think you can get this done? And you go, oh, sure. And boom, you get, right? And they're done and they're happy. You're happy. We're out of here. I've had to do that for situations where I said, I've got 10 minutes. I'm sorry, but this is what we have to do, you know, and I get it all done. They get it done. We're good. Now, not with this, because, you know, I get paid for this, but where I don't get paid, sometimes I will, you know, I will shorten the meeting and everybody's, you know, we still get it done. If we need more time, we schedule. So, yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, you can get sucked into that vortex of the event filling the time rather than really making it the calendar, sticking with the agenda. And sticking with the calendar. Calendar integrity. Very important. Okay. Marketing.
All right. I have the next two. And marketing, other than verbally confirming, we don't really have much to report on the center influence information for enthusiastically endorsed advisors. And you might remember, it is an excuse, but it is what it is. I have gone through this, and we have that on our client contact sheets, in our blue folders, in our office. So I don't want to recreate and spend a lot of time on some stuff that they've already told me. So we haven't been able to make this happen yet, but we just talked about it again. Andy is able to go into the office, and when he does, we're going to start grabbing those, getting those scanned into so that I can speak from, I just update what I have done in talking to the clients. So I didn't want to recreate all of that.
No, I understand. So
that's really that's where we are. It's been conversation, but not anything that's happened, but we're well aware of, you know, the target we're trying to hit. We understand it. We know what it is. We've talked about it, but don't have any progress over the last week.
One of the things that COVID has done is made marketing different, but very efficient, amazingly efficient. I'm starting my first mastermind group because of COVID. I mean, I just was too lazy, I'll admit it, to put together a mastermind group of professionals that I work with. And I've just found that everybody's interested. Everybody's excited about it and nobody's doing it. You'd think it was such a simple idea that everybody would have done it, but no, they don't. So my mastermind group will be made up of specialists that I hire or I subcontract to when I need things. So I've got a technology guy, Bill Johnston, who is, has a company, and we're going to do a webinar next week. He's very good at what he does, but he'll be part of my mastermind group. Bill Cates, I hope you've read his book, Get More Referrals Now, The Referral Coach. He'll be part of my mastermind group. I already did a webinar with him. MFS has a team that works on, Larry Biederman's smart marketing. They'll be part of my team. Touchstone does a nice job with their PAR program of analyzing a practice before I ever even get engaged with it. They'll be part of my team. So I'm doing webinars with them. And so when we do a webinar, we're doing a joint webinar. So we're using our, you know, my list and their list. So I'm getting twice as many people hearing about my webinar. And it's a webinar about something that both sets of clients are interested in, right? So you're going to hear about Supernova, and you're also going to hear about technology. You're going to hear about referrals, but you're also going to hear about Supernova. So their clients hear about what I'm doing. My clients hear about what they're doing. So everybody ends up winning. And then we then get together and talk about our practices and what are you doing? So you bring a good idea. You might bring a problem, and then we focus on one person's practice. How are you using COVID to market? How are you using this to do this? So we're all sharing. So you can think, okay, how am I going to do that with my specialist? You know, can I do webinars with somebody else that I cooperate with? But they're not in my business. So that would be a CPA attorney, estate planning attorney, a business broker, a commercial realtor, residential realtor, right? They're all in their business. I mean, they all have the same clients, but they're not in your business. So they're not competitors. But you could cooperate on terms of lists, of emails, of all kinds of things to generate webinars that would be of interest to mutual clients, right? On what's happening with the election, bring on a chief economist, bring on somebody and talk about those things. So in the marketing side of things, I want you to put together a 24-month calendar of events that you're going to use to market. Now, you don't have to have all webinars. You don't have to have, it could be your events could go on for 3 months if you wanted to. We're going to focus on alternative investments, and market to, you know, bring on people that specialize in alternative investments and do webinars on those. So that would be similar to what you do with your implementation, but you're going to use it to market, you know. So I think you can just think about it, not just from calling your existing clients, but how are we going to get more clients using that concept? So think about that. And down the road, you probably should consider hiring a technology specialist to update everything. And you know, you hire a guy for 6 months and you get all of it. He knows, you know, that's worth 30 years of his work, right? To give you all his best ideas. Probably not a bad idea in terms of leveraging. So,
yeah. Hey, Andy, what do you think about this? So what we've done, Rob, is we went a person that was the technology person in our complex, which is the UBS, I don't know how many, half a dozen offices, left that position, stayed with the firm because he wanted to change to do some different things. I don't know, Andy, would it be in life, let's say. And that's Paul Stover. And so what we did is Andy and I approached Paul, and we now have Paul working for us a limited number of hours per week. So correct. What we're trying to do is what you're talking about.
Yes.
And Andy, can you, yep. You know, I know it's limited number of hours that we've had with Paul because he was already working, Rob, with someone else in the complex. I think we're kind of wedging ourselves in there and, you know, but Andy, what do you think that has some legs like Rob is talking about?
Yeah, I do. So we're like today, this afternoon, I've got about 20 or 30 minutes with Paul to cover customizing our pitch book. So I'm trying to work backwards on the website, tuning up the website, the content in the website, the pitch book itself. And there's a couple of different pitch books floating out there, and there's good pieces from all of them. Paul's able to help navigate that with our AMC group, which is our Advisor Marketing Central practice, and they customize it for us. So what we want to do is have all the content laid out. By the time we move buildings, because we're literally, our office is moving next month. So we're going to list out, and it's moving next door. It's not a far move, but it's into a pretty slick kind of updated building. So what I want to do is have Paul be an integral part of having this pitch book created, so that the only thing we have to do by the time we move in is take pictures. Everybody on the team has seen and approved all the pitch book content. And then we have pictures as a team, which we do not currently have right now because it's a fairly new team, in the new building.
Yeah.
And you plunk them into the pitch book. And then by 1-1 of 2021, when everybody's moved in, you've got 100 copies of the pitch book. You've got all this stuff ready, and you can just grab and go and go to your meetings and market the team.
Right.
It's the website too.
Yeah. Your LinkedIn, website, Facebook, all those should be matching up to that pitch book.
Yes. So that, you know, that, and we've kind of been doing it in phases. LinkedIn was the easiest to address as a team from a standpoint of everybody's in different places, because we can all get on a call. So we were with a guy named Kevin Britt with MFS Funds. He kind of started helping us lean out LinkedIn, and Paul's going to help with that piece. So all our LinkedIn is consistent from a look and feel standpoint, professional standpoint. We are doing WebEx webinars. We've done a three-part series this year, and the next WebEx is this month on Thursday, the 23rd or the 22nd or 23rd. So Paul's been helping with that piece. Next year, we're utilizing our chief investment office and experts in that office to, as we host, it's an interactive conversation, and that person's leading with a pre-approved, compliance-approved slide deck where we're going over behavioral finance or tax topics or whatever. And right. We're inviting prospects and clients to that, and COIs. So next year, what we discovered is the topics that we're covering are pretty deep, and we can't go over them because we're trying to keep it to a half-hour conversation at noon so people can chime in pretty quick. So Gary's idea was great. He said, why don't we do behavioral finance, but have a three-part series on behavioral finance instead of just skimming the top off, and we can dive a little deeper, and we'll have three or four three-part series throughout the year.
Yeah, and then you give a nice teaser for the next one, and don't give them too, sweet. No, that's great. There's also a webinar, which I just heard about, that where they actually do a survey at the same time. I guess it's a brand new system. I don't know if you've heard about it or not. But.
Yeah, UBS has a survey tool. We haven't looked into it yet, but that's another thing that Paul is, I wasn't concerned in the beginning. I was like, we don't have enough work to validate Paul, but we do. So the survey tool is one thing. If we can frame it correctly where it's not cumbersome and people don't just gloss over it. But that's another piece that we want to look into as well.
All right. We're out of time, guys. I love these things. I'd shut them off earlier, but I loved what you're doing. Your energy is good. And I think we suck up a half an hour in about 10 minutes. And, I have to hear the rest of it, but we'll leave leadership for the next time. But I can see what the leadership is going well. And, you're meeting, you're getting your calendar going. Everything is coming together. This was, I know the last time we kind of had some challenges. I think you really put it together this week. So congratulations. You did a great job.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Right.
the rest of the day. All right. See you, Andy.
Bye. See you guys.
Bye, everybody.